freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says?
No, he's not a criminal.
Subscribe to receive every episode at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Ah, we stink, man.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
No way!
Man, I'm not going to lie. Hearing that music put a smile on my face just now. Artist I've smiled in a while. Just a sense of normalcy here for me for a minute.
How about the pre-show? 20 minutes.
It's been good seeing you guys. I'm not going to lie. I miss you guys. We'll talk more coronavirus here in a bit. But I will just start off by, and we'll talk Seahawks free agency, obviously. But I'll just start by saying this is like against everything I am. Like, this coronavirus thing is so challenging. I know it's hard for everybody. I don't mean monetarily. I understand that there are people who have it much, much worse off than me. But my personality is not, it's not designed for this.
No.
I am not designed for cordoning off.
You're called a talker. You like to talk things out.
Well, I also
You're a verbal processor.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
I am. Mm-hmm. And I also like, you know, especially in times of challenge, my instinct is to bring people together.
Community.
And to be together, all of us. Like, hey, let's all gather together and do something.
Even if we don't agree.
It's all the opposite of that. It's terrible. I hate this thing. I absolutely hate it. I hate everything about the coronavirus. I hate it.
Let it go.
I have not been able to talk about this with anybody. Thank God you guys are all here and our 7 listeners. Actually, maybe it'll be more. Everyone's home. They got nothing else to do but sit around and listen to stuff like this. But I hate this thing.
Stop spitting on me, bro.
I can't stand it. You're like 6 feet away. We're socially distanced. It's fine.
No, we're about 4. And if you're going to yell, just face that way.
All
I don't
right.
need your
Kyle,
saliva.
Yeah, we need to get rid of Kyle.
Bring it over here.
He's younger than me.
Send it my way, baby.
Yeah, are you nervous at your advanced age?
Oh.
Are you nervous about this? Is this a problem for you?
44 and 64. A lot of books I'm reading.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that. Yeah. We got some book conversation.
Yes, we do.
I want to say very, very clearly for the record, I hate this thing. I hate everything about it, and I want it to go away as soon as possible. And if that means we all have to be cordoned off, fine. Just make this thing go away as soon as possible. Also, get my kids out of the house, because if this is going to be like until September, it's too long.
I saw Avery and Cecily on a video chat this
How morning. Were they doing?
All of a sudden, they disappeared. They vanished behind the couch. Yeah. They just dropped behind the couch, like doing the old elevator trick.
That's them. There you go.
Are you homeschooling?
Everybody, what are the children?
Yeah.
I'm not schooling.
Right?
Yeah.
So are you like taking it on?
A little bit. We are together. We've got some plans. I can tell you more about it. All right.
Poor kids are going to get a Pomona curriculum. I'm sorry. Remember, Mike, they're not ready for college.
Yeah. They're reading a Confederacy of Dunces at home right now.
They're going to teach you Japanese.
Post hoc non ergo proctor hoc, Cecily.
We have a Latin course every day from 2 to 3 p.m. Yeah, I arm isosis, O-C-O-M-O, is arm isosis. Yeah, we're going all the way through that. Rex, regis, regi, regem, regi, regis, regem, regis, regis, regis. Yeah, we're going all the way through the declensions. We'll do some conjugating of verbs in the 3 o'clock hour. So, all right. I knew day one. The reason we are spending so much time stalling here is because I don't want to talk about Seahawks' lack of free agency.
What do you mean?
I thought this was finally going to be the year. I thought they're all set up. What happened? Day one was a bust. It's Jaron Reed and the ever funny Luke Wilson is back. Thank God Luke's back. He's so funny.
Yeah, to be fair, we are taping on a Tuesday
which
morning.
Hold on quickly before we'll get to that. Is Luke Wilson more funny or is Jake Locker more nice?
Locker nice, because that's universal.
Not everyone.
Luke Wilson
Luke's funny.
Like, yeah, that could go either way. Most people think he's funny. Some people find him endlessly annoying.
Jake Locker's niceness is transcendent of time and community.
And Huskies and Cougs.
It's beyond just the local charm and appeal. It is something that is truly to the essence of human nature.
All right.
Okay.
So Jake Locker's
wait, more nice
than Luke Wilson is funny.
Yes.
Okay.
What is Howdy Hap over there? What? You have
he's got his charts. He brought his charts.
Whoa. Yeah, I brought all of my charts.
I couldn't see that behind the monitor.
Had the printouts of everything.
What is?
Well, you asked. You wanted to review my numbers.
Put
over
it
time.
Into 0.8 size type so that neither of us could read it.
That's absolutely right.
He knew if it was printed that small, that Brock and I'd be like, "Well, I don't have a chance at that." So forget about it.
Oh, you got all your numbers out over there, don't you?
You ask, I deliver.
It was a week ago. We talked about. We threw a bunch of names at you. What did we throw for Jaron Reed? We talked about Jaron Reed. What did you say for Jaron Reed? Go,
gotta have him.
Look at his database. Look at him.
Jaron Reed was all over the board.
Oh, was
all
he?
The stuff that I read.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Somewhere between 7 and 12.
Okay, so 11.
That's a wide range.
Right?
Went right to 11. Right to the top of that list.
Yep.
Great. Well,
after he said on the last day of the season that 10 was disrespect in his name.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I like Jaron Reed. I actually have no problems with this. I think he is more the player he was 2 years ago than the player he was last year. I think Jaron Reed will be good for the Seahawks moving forward, and I think it's a good signing. He's a guy that I you know, obviously mistakenly have compared to some of the better players in the game, but not because of his ability to do any one thing, but just mm-hmm. because of the completeness of his game. I think Jaron Reed's a good player who you can win with. So I'm fine with that. The big question I have is, where's everybody else? Like, mm-hmm. where are the DNs? Where are the people who are going to rush the passer? Brock, yep. Where are those guys?
Yeah, they got paid in some other places. And Robert Quinn this morning gets about $14 million. JPP, who I think Howdy had at...
I had him at like...
16, I think.
Seven.
Seven or eight. He ends up at 13 and a half, 2 years, $27 million. Lots of D linemen yesterday. DeForest Buckner off the charts, right? The Colts trade and give up their 13th pick to the Niners. And then pay him on average about $21 million per. So he's the big fish right now. He in the corner from Dallas that goes to Miami. I think those two are at the very top of the biggest crest of wave number one. Lots of other defensive linemen are in that wave number one. Lots of defensive tackles, right? Jaron Reed's a part of that. He's a day one, wave one guy at 11.5 million bucks. But yes, out there right now, either on the beach or hoping to jump on that wave, is Jadeveon Clowney as we speak, and he is yet to be signed. So there's part of me, Mike, that, you know, as you started this show and like, oh, we're the Seahawks and you're a little bit angry, and I get that, and I think a lot of Seahawks fans are a little bit nervous out there, like, where is this signing? Isn't there a part of you also going, awesome, the longer this clock ticks, usually the less money that player gets, right? Miami spends an exorbitant amount of money yesterday to sign six different guys. Right, you see Indianapolis sign big chunks of theirs. You see the Raiders sign big chunks. Like, and all of a sudden, that money isn't there like it was assumed to be there for 21, 22, 24, 25 million bucks for Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, that part is good. And hopefully that means Clowney ends up coming back. But again, bringing back what you already have isn't enough for the Seahawks. They weren't good enough last year. Let's just say this clearly and simply. They weren't good enough last year. They weren't bad.
Yeah.
They went to the playoffs. They came within a play or so of winning their division and maybe even ending up with a bye in the first. They're a good team, maybe even a very good team, but they weren't good enough. And certainly their pass rush wasn't good enough. Their defense wasn't good enough. So just bringing back Jadeveon Clowney and Jaron Reed, and thankfully Brandon Jackson gets a tender. I mean, what would they do without that?
Little Joey Hunt played through a stress reaction.
But I'm fine with it. I don't mind them doing any of the things they've done.
David Moore gets a tender.
Okay.
You get a tender, and I get a tender, and everyone gets a tender.
Yeah.
And those four all get tender. Well,
tender is the night, I guess, Brock. Since you're working on books to read, maybe you could try Tender is the Night
during these
days off, because you just need more than this. This year is different. I think that's why I'm frustrated, is that this year is actually different. You've got cap space. You've got picks in the draft. You've got depth.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a franchise quarterback in his window. That's everything you need to start doing things, right? Like, I'm not generally for this. We talked about this last week on the show. Like, I'm generally not the guy who stands up and says, go sign people in free agency. We talk about patience.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about tough choices. We talk about credit cards and not building up your debt. But right now, you are actually in buy position with all of those stars in alignment. I get it. Last year, you need all your draft picks. Okay, fine. You can't sign people because you got to build up your draft. Fine. Some years you're hard up against the cap or close to it, or you don't want to get fine, but you've got cap space this year. Some years you look at it and say, oh, well, you know, our depth just isn't there. Guys get hurt. The back end of the roster is important. But you spent the last couple of years, and especially last year, working on your depth. And in fact, you won as many games as you did last year because of it.
Now, I understand.
Now's the time.
I understand all of that in theory very much, and I didn't necessarily argue against that a week ago. Now that we actually have a day of market data, now that we actually have guys that have gone places and gotten deals done, I can look at that entire list, and I tried to curate all of it yesterday and throughout this morning and look at it. There's really only one deal that I said, ooh, I would have liked that in Seattle. As I look at all those players that went on day number one, right? This was not Byron Jones, Kyle Van Noy, Eric Flowers, Shaq Lawson, Manny Ogba, Clayton whatever, all go to the Miami Dolphins. Big old Vitae goes to Detroit with Jamie Collins and Chase Daniel. You look at Buffalo, Mario Addison and A.J. Klein and a couple linebackers. They trade for Stephon Diggs. Obviously, Arizona trades for DeAndre Hopkins.
Sorry, I'm laughing about the Stephon Diggs thing. It's going to be funny watching that kid bounce passes to Stephon Diggs.
Josh Allen.
And see just how mad Stephon Diggs is going to be. Josh Allen would be better off punting the ball to Stephon Diggs.
5 years and $70 million for Robert Quinn to the Bears. Would I have
you
done
like that one?
No.
I would have taken
it. I'd have done that.
You'd have done that one? Because
sure. They'd have cut him after 2 years and wouldn't have mattered at all.
Right. I'd have done
2 years of $14 million? Absolutely.
Okay, so he's maybe the one.
I'd have done that.
I actually look at Jack Conklin for about that same
number. I'd
have
done that too.
3 years.
Either of those.
Yeah, those are the two. But especially to me, the Jack Conklin, take care of that one. Take care of your right tackle.
I know they're looking
young.
At Philip Dorsett, a dumb wide receiver who can run fast.
No, thankfully he's going to sign back with the Colts.
Thank God.
So you know who they're going to sign. You know what's going to happen. They're going to sign back Jermaine Ifedi.
Oh, God.
You know that's going to happen.
I thought you were going to say Jermaine Kearse, which also might happen.
I'm looking for that too. Yep. Yep, both. Both of them.
You know.
Are they going to bring in anybody new?
No. So this market.
No, they drafted so well. No. They identified
this market,
these guys,
by the way, this market right now.
You guys
said,
are wrong. That's
this,
not
hold
true.
On. This market yesterday said this. These are facts. The market yesterday said, George Fant, we like your upside. You're a possible left tackle of the future, this being the New York Jets, and we're going to pay you 3 years at $10 million per. $10 million per seemed to be about the going number yesterday.
Yep.
You look at a lot of these deals. A lot of them were around that $10 million per. The market said Eric Flowers, who is a laughingstock, former first-rounder for the Giants, they couldn't run him out fast enough, has a rebound year, and he gets $10 million per. Right? The market said, Jack Conklin, you're a little bit better than those guys because you played the last few years. Yeah, you're looking at $14 per. And the market said to Jermaine Ifedi, what on day one into day two?
Not yet.
No.
No kidding.
No.
Of course it did.
But the Seahawks.
The Seahawks are going to false start trying to bring in Jermaine Ifedi.
Howdy, what is the number that the Seattle Seahawks this week are going to sign? You're proud of that one.
Yeah,
that's
it was
pretty
good.
What are the Seahawks going to sign? What does your little sheet there at six font say about Jermaine Ifedi and where he's going to end up and what he's going to get?
My sheet before all this stuff went down said he was going to make $8 million
and
on
now?
A 3-year deal. Now he will make $11 million on a 3-4-year deal. Per year?
11 a year. What did Conklin get?
14.
$3 million difference between the best right tackle available and Jermaine Ifedi. That's the decision you made.
Well, you don't know that they made it. I mean, the one thing you've got to always remember with these things is you don't know that Jack Conklin wanted to come here. I mean,
you want to go to Cleveland?
I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he likes what's going on there. Maybe. I mean, dude, I don't know.
Okay. Right.
He went to Michigan State, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, once you're willing to live there, you're happy to live in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Seattle, maybe you didn't want to come here because of the coronavirus.
Are there any other?
Dude, anything is possible. I just always caution us, and we do this with baseball, too, where you say, well, why didn't you just trade this? Well, maybe that team didn't like your prospects. Maybe that player didn't want to come here. Maybe you weren't on their list. Maybe he doesn't like your system. Maybe he doesn't want to move to Seattle. Maybe it's too far. Maybe he doesn't like – who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's – you know, you can have the conversation just with that as a caveat of like, yeah, all right, I don't know. Maybe it would have cost $15 million to bring him here.
Fine.
Regardless,
fine.
I'd have done that. That's a good deal.
Fine.
But it's still not your priority. Your priority has to be the defensive end position, the edge rusher. And you've done diddly-poo.
Well, everybody franchised their guys, right? Anybody that was anybody.
No, that's not true.
It is good to be.
We talked about Jason Pierre-Paul. He was a possibility.
It is good to be a D-lineman these days. It is the number one position. That and quarterback still. Tannehill gets his money. Teddy's going to get his money. Even the scrubby backups get. There's Kirk Cousins got a 2-year, $66 million extension. Drew Brees gets a 2-year. $50 million extension. It's good to be D linemen and it's good to be quarterbacks. I'm talking about the premium guys, Mike. I'm not talking about, you know, their second or third tier.
But if you
I'm
can't
talking
get
about your
premium
guys
that
have all been franchised by their teams.
If you're gonna get Clowney as your premium guy, you still need other guys. So sign them.
And they're all there. Vic Beasley is there, Leonard Floyd now is there. Your former Seahawk is there, Marcus Golden is
Everson
there.
Everson Griffin is available.
Everson Griffin is available.
Okay.
So, I mean, those guys are all still sitting out there.
Cool.
And again, the longer time goes, genuinely, the better the deal for the team. And this is where this team is frustrating, as it is.
Hold on a minute. There is a limit to that. There is a limit to that. The better it is for the team until you wait so long that you get Ziggy Ansah. And then even spending $1
you're
going to
get Ziggy on a minimum deal this year. You're gonna bring him back on an incentive.
No, you're
not. Oh yeah, you are.
Ziggy's not playing football again.
My sources tell me Ziggy's coming back.
My sources tell me that Ziggy Ansah got outraced to the edge,
Brock,
by a 44-year-old
with one hamstring,
half dead version of Josh McCown with a bad hip hamstring and something
else.
The
hamstring torn off
had
his
one
bone,
hamstring,
and Ziggy couldn't catch him.
Wasn't close.
Whoa,
he was accelerating away from him. It was ridiculous.
But they did tender Brandon Jackson yesterday.
I know,
so
we mentioned that.
That can kind of put you at ease.
I feel at ease because you still have Rashim Green and then Brandon Jackson coming off the edge.
Quentin Jefferson's still out there, and we'll see what the league says about the market.
Right. So, yeah,
no, Collier will be coming off there like a European sports car coming off the edge.
I feel
Brian Baldinger.
I feel good about all of this.
I don't know. I'm a little bit torn. You know, I'm verbal processing what we're talking about here, and I'm a little bit torn because this organization, 10 years, Mike, has set the best mark in 10 years they ever have, has won more games than they ever have, has been to the playoffs seemingly every single year, even in the rebuild the last 2 years and getting to the second round this last season. And one of their greatest virtues and one of their greatest strengths has always been patience. It has always been patience in free agency. Sorry, Jared Allen, this is the number we got. Sorry, Alan Branch, this is the number we got. Sorry, guys, this is the number that we've got. And while it's frustrating to us, and we're sitting there like, can you just get the deal done? Their patience. And in the draft, their patience. This is the way we do it. We trade down. Sorry, that was a really good player. Man, and he went, you know.
And in general, I don't complain about it. This year, I think you got to be a little bit more than just patient. Now you got to get good deals. You don't want to overpay. But I think this is the season to do a little bit more than that. Now, there are some released guys whose names I at least found intriguing. I don't know whether they're guys that are released because they're toast or released because of money and maybe you have an opportunity there, or, you know, kind of where the team is going. You got a couple of defensive linemen, Linval Joseph and Snacks Harrison.
Yes, you do.
Mike loves Linval Joseph.
You know how
now.
Much in his 35 sacks a year. Yeah. do you like either of those guys?
Not right now.
Really?
Not right now. Not priority.
You mean
I don't like
not
anybody.
Top of the market.
I don't like anybody until you get a deal done with Jadeveon Clowney.
All right, fine. How about, but, you know, we're waiting and seeing.
Yes.
On that one. So do you like Desmond Trufant?
Yeah, I think he's a possibility. He's a little small for their liking, right? They usually like a little bit more length, and there actually are a bunch of corners sitting out there. This is not a great corner free agent class, but there's a bunch of dudes. Chris Harris from the Broncos is not signed. Did not sign in wave number one. Eli Apple and Jimmy Smith. Eli Apple's been, you know, burned through two places. Logan Ryan is a guy whose name I think floated around a few years ago with the Seahawks.
He's an inside guy, right?
A little bit more of an inside guy, but yeah, there's a few corners out there. Quite honestly, looking at day one, as I said, my biggest disappointment is Jack Conklin. That's a guy to me that would have fit, and I would have loved to have seen it right tackle.
In Jason Pierre-Paul and Robert Quinn.
At $13.5 million and $14 million, you do both those deals before Clowney? I don't. I can't do that. I can't rationalize that. I've got to get that first. I've got to get the difference maker.
I don't understand. Why can't you spend $10 million? I mean, they did Jaren Reed before they did Clowney. Like, I mean, I don't know that everything has to work from top to bottom. You just have to get the guys that are available
because
when
they prioritize their own.
But don't you think bringing in one of those guys would help you get Clowney? If I'm Jadeveon Clowney, Brock, I'm looking at this going, I mean, I'm happy to come back, but am I going to be quadruple teamed every time? Do I have to face an entire offensive line plus somebody chipping off the edge? If I'm Jadeveon Clowney, signing Robert Quinn would help me sign. It wouldn't prevent me from signing. Hey, knowing
Fair
that
point.
Jason Pierre-Paul is going to be over on the other side, and yeah, that might help me sign, not prevent me from signing. So I'm not buying your argument there. Sorry, that doesn't hold weight to me.
Bruce Irvin, Marcus Golden, Leonard Floyd, Vic Beasley. What if they, right, in their work and their analysis say, we like these guys better, and we like them a whole lot better at
Good.
Seven,
then get
eight
it done.
Million bucks than we do Jason Pierre-Paul
then I'll,
at
then
13
I'll believe
and a half.
Them, then, but get it done. I'll believe you if that's what you want to do. I'll take people at their word that they have their own system and they like who they like for specific reasons and fit. Like, I mean, I can look at Robert Quinn. I don't know whether he's a better fit for their system than, you know, one of the other guys, Marcus Golson, is. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But get one of them. Like, get make
you
that
know,
happen.
You know who they're going to get, right? You know
Leonard
gonna,
Floyd.
Yeah, you know they're just going to. Yep,
explain why.
You want to know why? Because Leonard Floyd is 6'6", 245, and was the ninth pick of the draft 3 years ago in 2016,
Deion
four
Jordan.
Years ago.
Is he Deion Jordan?
He's not quite as super freaky as Deion Jordan.
Great.
But
awesome.
But he jumps 30.
So he's not even as good as Deion Jordan.
He jumps 39.5. He runs 4.6. He was a top 10 pick in the first round of a draft, so you know exactly what they're going to do. This guy checks every one of the boxes that we love, and he's an unbelievable spark athlete, and he's super twitchy, and he was just in the wrong spot. He was playing a 3-4 outside linebacker when he's a 4-3 end, and we're going to put his hand in the ground, and you absolutely know. Right, and I say this a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but as far as I look at this list of young guys with incredible upside still, with unbelievable twitch and athleticism that were top 10 picks, what do they love? Pete loves that guy. He's always loved that guy. He's always loved the 4- and 5-star recruit because of it. He's always loved and given first-rounders a bunch of different shots. So you know, you look at the names of Vic Beasley and Marcus Golden and Bruce Servin, and there's Leonard Floyd, and he's a little bit of an outlier. And you know what? And they're going to say, you know what? This is what we do. Again, he wasn't available yesterday.
What they do,
he wasn't available Sunday. He was available when the Bears said we would rather have Robert Quinn at $14 million than the 12.5 due on the fifth-year option of Leonard, and we're going to pick between those two guys, and good luck to you, Leonard.
It's weird that that's become what they do. It's not always what they did. I mean, you kind of go back to the two best free agent signings they had were Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett. Those weren't ex-first-round busts who they were finally able to nab later. Nope. I mean, Cliff Averill was a third-round pick and a good player in Detroit who just got passed a bid. Mike Bennett was, what, a seventh-rounder or undrafted? I mean, he was an undrafted guy who was here and then in Tampa and then back.
Yep.
So, I mean, neither of those guys fit that whole idea of perfect body, perfect spark score, perfect whatever. They were just players. They were guys who actually worked on the field and actually put up numbers and did what they were supposed to. So it's weird that that changed along the way, at least in terms of what their reputation is. Mm-hmm. And I'd like it to change back. Stop looking for the freaky fast. Stop looking for the freaky whatever. And get the guys who put up numbers. Get the guys who are actually succeeding out there and doing what you need them to.
The hard part is you did that with Ziggy Ansah. That's part of the reason why, because he was such a productive player. I mean, they have a good balance of both. When they draft, they're looking for that freaky stuff, and that's why they've been successful a lot, because they look at the physical traits maybe more than the reputation or the production. But in free agency, you know, I think that they do a little bit of both.
So, Howdy, as you're looking at your six-point font over there, and we got about 11.5 that has gone to Reed. We've got in four tenders to Hollister and to Hunt and David Moore and Brandon Jackson. We've got a pretty good idea, right? It's $3.2 million for Hollister, $2.1 for Moore, probably somewhere in between for the other two guys. You've got Luke Wilson probably on a minimum deal. You make the move with Greg Olsen. So, you know, they have a few transactions under their belt from a cap space standpoint. I think they're still sitting at a very healthy spot where they could do whatever they want to do.
They could do anything they want to do. I mean, right now they're probably sitting with somewhere between $27 and $33 million left, but they haven't even touched any of the guys that they can move their salaries around or cut. I mean, Tedrick Thompson and Lano Hill are both making a total of $5 million. Like, that's an easy
Bradley
lop-off
McDougal's
right
another
there.
$5 million. KJ, Britt, all those
KJ
guys
could
we're
be
talking about.
Yep. I mean, there's a lot of money that could be freed up. So, yes, they have every asset they want
to
do.
This is
to
hard
make
to
these
watch
moves.
Right now. Now, everything. This is sometimes. Now, let's be very clear. This is. And, you know, watching a movie that is going to take 2 hours plus and you're 45 minutes into it going, I don't see how they're going to survive. I don't see how this group could possibly get out alive. They can't make it. They're stuck in the elevator shaft. There's no way this group could. That's where we're at. We're only 45 minutes into a 2 hour movie, and there's a lot that's still left to happen. A lot of twists and turns, plot twists, et cetera, that'll take place over the course of the next few days and weeks. So I don't, you know, all the way through the draft, where often we see trades for guys as well. So I'm not going to sit here and say
you're more frustrated than I am. I think because I've been burned by Ziggy.
I'm incredibly frustrated. Are you kidding me?
You guys been watching for the last decade? What are you frustrated?
They're showing
there's
exactly
no surprises.
What they've shown in the
when
past.
You
that's
get,
the problem.
When you chest bump on national TV like Heaps and I did.
When was that, though? When did they sign Ziggy? That wasn't in this wave. Right before training camp. That wasn't now. You guys should know. They're not doing anything right now.
Nothing. They're signing their own guys and protecting compensatory.
And they're going to wait to see what falls to them. They're going to have the patience and the resolve
to get Eddie Lacy and Luke Jokel and
because like Pittsburgh and some of the other places that actually have legitimate trifectas of president, GM, coach, and quarterback, like they feel good about those spots, we can be patient and we will let Miami feast. Oh, I'm glad you had $90 million in cap space, and good for you. You know, you got the best corner on the market, and you got five or six other guys, and they'll let Cleveland continue to spend money, and good for you, Cleveland. Spend on the tight end, spend on the DN, spend on the tackle. We'll let those other organizations that are constantly just moving, right, just constantly active but not executing, we'll execute our plan. And we will have patience, and we will let the Leonard Floyds, or we will let the Marcus Goldsons, or we will let the Michael Bennetts, or we will let some of these pieces, Vic Beasley's, fall to us at a number that is so much more favorable than Salk or anybody else would have had to spend for them on day one.
That would be good. Also, make sure that you win at the end of it. Like, good. Good. I'm glad you were looking for value. I'm glad that you're going to get the guys that you want at the prices you want them. Also, make sure you win.
Okay.
And understand that the roster you had last year was saved by Russell Wilson.
Well, let me make
the roster you had last year was salvaged by Russell Wilson and his greatness. And the roster you have right now is not good enough to go to the Super Bowl.
Then let's just lastly bring in that perspective.
And by the way, before we finish that, let's be clear. Your division's good.
Oh, your division got better.
I don't even want to. The Cardinals are going to be a problem. Now, I don't know if they're coached well enough to ever be a Super Bowl contender, but they are good enough and talented enough to be an annoyance, to be a team that's going to bother you and maybe clip you once a year. So that's an aggravation. They get much better, obviously, adding a premier wide receiver and getting him for free. what is going on with Houston? I can't even talk. I mean, what are they doing? Anyway. Arizona's better.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco's going to be good. I don't know if they're going to be as good as they were a year ago.
They bring back 10 of their defensive starters, and they get the 13th pick in a loaded
draft. They're going to lose some guys.
They lost just Buckner. That's it.
Well, that's a big one, though. Yeah. I mean, they lost a guy that was worth
a lot.
But
they made their choice between Armstead and Buckner, and they said, give me Armstead, and we'll trade him for the 13th pick.
I mean, look, San Francisco's going to be good. I'm not concerned that they're going back to the Super Bowl next year. I think teams that get to that point have a really hard time backing it up the next year. And I think the Rams will be a little bit better than they were last year, and they're a really challenging matchup for you. So, I mean, is it unreasonable to think that if you, with your current roster, just playing your eight games against those three teams, or your six games against those three teams.
Yeah, hard.
You're going to win two or three?
Yep.
Winning four would be an enormous accomplishment against your division right now.
Yes.
Winning four games would be an enormous accomplishment.
Yours is the best division in football.
I'm going to expect that you're going to win three, and I'm sure not going to be surprised if you win two, which means you've already lost three or four games before even playing the rest of the league.
Let me make one.
That's a big challenge.
Let me make one more
but it's cool
point on your side.
Because you're just going to bring back Jaron Reed.
Let me debate for you on your side and give you one more little piece of ammo. And, you know, you mentioned him, and he's the single most important person in this organization, and that is your quarterback. And what did your quarterback want?
Stars.
Stars.
Right.
I want superstars. All right, well, Buffalo traded for a superstar. Arizona traded for a superstar. You've seen some teams trade for superstars. Unfortunately, you don't have a lot of ammunition, I think, to
You don't
trade.
Have anything great like David Johnson?
No. No, he's,
what are you talking about?
Yeah, he's really good.
No, he's not.
Rashad Penny's better. You got him. Yeah. Ship him out.
Anything. David Johnson's like toast. Aren't they friends, by the way, Penny and David Johnson?
Could be.
Aren't they like buddies now? David Johnson like taught him how to play.
You look at that list there, Howdy, in front of you, as you look at what the market gobbled up on day number one and wave number one, I don't know if...
Where's my guy Von Miller?
Yep. I don't know if Russell would have looked at Jack Conklin as a star or as a superstar. I don't know. I don't know if he would have looked at Byron Jones, a corner, as a star or superstar. I don't know if he would have looked at Robert Quinn as a star or superstar. I don't know, you know, how Russell would really deem and characterize those guys as stars or superstars. But Jadeveon Clowney is, and he's got to get done.
Okay.
He's got to be a Seahawk.
But that's still not enough.
Okay. Then beyond that, are there any stars left? Is there any other moves that you're going to appease your quarterback who wants stars and superstars?
You can't sign him. There's nothing left in free agency.
In terms of stars.
There's nothing left on the star level that you could bring back in free agency after Jadeveon Clowney.
Now, Melvin Gordon, Dante Fowler.
You're getting in the situation where you could be trading for a star, and now you're talking about paying a premium. And that's totally possible. I don't even know who all the names are. Von Miller is one of them. Chris Jones, Unique Ngakoue. You can trade for those guys and pay them $20 million.
Mm-hmm. Potentially Matthew Judon as well.
Judon, you can do that with those guys. But this is a serious, serious price when you could have just paid cash for some of these guys that just went out the door. That's the problem. You're going to have to give up too much of something you really need and care about in order to get great players. You had a chance to spend, and you chose not to because you wanted to protect third-round compensatory picks.
Everson Griffin?
35 years old. I mean, come on. What are we talking about?
He's not 35.
At least 32.
No.
He's old. Like, we're not talking about stars
anymore. He just
turned
32 in December.
He's 32. 35.
He's old. He's been in the league for 8 years. What are we talking about?
Vic Beasley?
8 sacks last year for Griffin.
Vic Beasley is a 10-play-a-game guy. He plays 10 plays, and he only rushes the passer for 10 plays.
Well, he plays 10 plays and gets a sack and a half, I'll
right.
take it.
I mean, like, right. That's kind of what Frank Clark is. Like, right. I'll take that.
But Bruce then Irvin also, you need somebody to play behind him who can actually play for 60 snaps a game.
All right. This is getting frustrating.
Right. This is the problem. This is why I'm very upset.
All right. Are you ready to calm down for a few minutes? Brock, what's going to happen now? Paint me the picture of what is going to happen here over the next few days.
with these Seahawks?
Yes.
They're going to get Clowney signed.
Okay.
Yep. And then, I think that number is not going to be 24 or 25.
Here's but then the they're Clowney and Reed, and they're exactly where they
that's
were
right.
last
the problem
They're no
is,
better at all.
They have
they're
left
not
me in a position where if that happens, I'm still not going to even smile. Like, honestly, signing Clowney is going to be like, okay. And?
They're just as bad as they were last year.
That's right. Yeah. So what else are they going to do?
I've mentioned these names a bunch.
We've tried Marcus Golden like seven different ways.
Yes.
Is it Golden, Golson, or Goldston?
Marcus Golden.
Okay, because we've gone, I think, three
Marcus,
different directions.
I thought it was Goldston, the guy
Golden.
From the Pittsburgh?
No, Marcus Golden.
Okay.
He played
Not
for
William Golson.
The Cardinals. Yes, he played for the Cardinals. I'm going to give you a list of some names that I wrote down as guys that I looked at on that paper and went, I could kind of see them as a Seahawk fit. Marcus Golden, Vic Beasley, Leonard Floyd, ding, ding, ding. Chris Harris, the corner, is still unsigned. He's the best corner out there, and he's probably not at all thrilled that he did not get the $16 million that he wanted. Everson Griffin, Logan Ryan, Demarius Randall, former corner, safety, speed guy, former first-round pick, a guy that there's been some rumors linked to here in Seattle, a guy that can flat-out run and ran 4-4 coming out of college. Jimmy Smith, longer, older player. Some tread on the old tires have been worn off there in Baltimore.
The old Jaguars wide receiver?
Nope. Jimmy Smith, the old Baltimore corner, first-round pick. Carl Joseph is a guy that I loved when he came out of West Virginia. He's an undersized guy. Carl Joseph, undersized guy.
Well, you loved him.
I loved him.
Thumper.
Yes, and he's been hurt almost every year of his career. He's been in Oakland. Yes, he's a bit beat up. There is Snacks Harrison. There is Linville Joseph. There's a list of like 10 guys there that you're going to want this market to say no to day after day, hour after hour, moment after moment. So all of a sudden, they can come in at a number that doesn't just call for one of those to make Saul happy.
After Clowney.
But how about two or three of those?
Give me three names.
Oof.
They sign Jaron Reed. They sign the incredibly funny Luke Wilson.
Yep.
They tender all their guys in the night. They sign Jadeveon Clowney. That'll be the next shoe to drop. And then what? Give me three more.
Out of those names that I just referenced and I looked at that list of free agents, I'm going to go Leonard Floyd because of their ego and what they believe and because of his gifts. They think they can find a way to get him back to the 7 sacks or 6.5 sacks of his rookie year. So I'm going to say Leonard Floyd has star upside, top 10 pick upside, rare physical talent at a really young age upside. So I'm going to go Leonard Floyd. I'm going to go, for me, I'm going to say Carl Joseph because he can flat out fly at safety. It may be able to come in and play a little bit of your nickel corner. So if they go Leonard Floyd and they go Carl Joseph, these are just my favorites. These are guys that I really like. And then you have to have a corner. In this division that you referenced, you have to have a corner. Right? You're depressed about their D-line. And if all they get back is Jaron Reed and Jadeveon Clowney, well, what about their corners? What about their secondary to now cover Nuke Hopkins that's come to your division to try to take care of San Francisco that exploded that position and just got better and better and better as the season evolved? And oh, by the way, now has a 13th pick in the draft and may get Henry Ruggs out of Alabama. Right, and we'll probably have a pick of an elite receiver if they want one there, if not a D lineman. So a huge pick at 13 for San Francisco. The Rams can still really run. So you've got to get a corner. You've got to get somebody that has been there and done it. And is that Jimmy Smith? I don't like Eli Apple, but Eli Apple would be another one that checks the boxes. First round pick, long, can really run. Been terrible with the Giants.
Big time
was
headache.
Terrible with the Saints. Was a nuisance elsewhere. Was a pain in those locker rooms, but. You know what? He's a former first rounder that's got all the physical goods. And can we get that out of him where those two organizations could not? Eli Apple, Jimmy Smith, Logan Ryan, and I think ultimately Chris Harris is going to be a little bit too expensive and is a little bit aged. So you have to get a corner. So take your pick with the third guy. You have to have somebody that pushes Trey Flowers because you can be depressed about the D-line. I get really anxious looking in this division to win three games, covering those dudes in Arizona and San Francisco. And even L.A. without a corner?
I don't care if you have Deion Sanders on one side and Richard Sherman on the other. If the quarterback has long enough to throw the ball, it doesn't
but
matter.
But there are options. I read off all those defensive ends that have had production, that have had 8 sacks, that have had 7 sacks. Bruce Irvin had 8 sacks. And, you know, these guys, at least at that position, Mike, that are available.
I thought you told me Bruce Irvin's 8 sacks came in garbage time.
They did.
Because his team was bad.
Well, they were garbage. Because his team was garbage.
That's not how garbage time works.
But I'm talking about corners.
Okay.
Where is there somebody that can legitimately push Trey Flowers?
Because the scrap heap on defensive line is better than the scrap heap in the secondary.
It's huge. Much, much bigger. And there wasn't a corner signed yesterday. I mean, you're not going to pay $16.5 million for Brian Jones. But the other corners, if they would have signed in Seattle for the numbers that they did, James Bradbury, 15, you know, 3 years and $15 million per, or 15 per year for 3 years. James Bradbury, if the Seahawks would have signed James Bradbury, would I have been happy yesterday? Do you even know who James Bradbury
is? Never heard that name in my life.
That's Ray's brother,
like a
right?
Congressman.
He's a Carolina Panther corner. Like, really? He got $15 million per? Yeah, he did.
Guy wrote Fahrenheit 451.
Didn't he? James Bradbury.
All right, hold on. Let's take we'll pause here for a moment. We have a lot still left to come, including a dynamic and hopefully fun version of Answer the Question, Jerick. So we'll be right back. All right, so we'll come back, talk a few more minutes of NFL football, try to figure out what's going on with Tom Brady and some of these other trades that have happened so far at the beginning of free agency. But you know, it's impossible to have a conversation with anybody right now without talking about what's going on in the world with the coronavirus and pandemic. It's you know, we haven't really had much of a chance to see each other. And to Kyle and I have quite a bit because we've been communicating a lot on what the building is doing and, you know, what we're doing at Cairo and then 710. So we've spent a lot of time together recently, but you and I haven't had nearly as much of a chance to talk about it. I mentioned at the beginning, I hate this thing. I mean, I know everybody does. I'm not trying to put myself in a unique category, but it feels like personal to me. Like, it's just everything.
Well, we talk about checking boxes last segment an awful lot with some of these free agents and draft hopefuls. Yeah, this checks every one of the worst boxes for you.
Yes.
It separates community. It separates verbal processing. Just like what makes you go, right? Challenges faith and just the things that like make you go.
I wanted to talk about that faith part because I think it's an interesting element of what we're all going through. And Kyle and I have had a lot of conversations about this because we've occasionally had to make some difficult decisions together on what we're doing with the station. And you know, one of the hardest parts for me about this entire thing is it does take a level of faith. You have to believe that this is real, despite not seeing any real evidence in most of our lives of it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe that social distancing will work and that being apart from one another will actually solve it, even though you won't necessarily see the results of what you're doing. And you have to do that despite never seeing evidence really of any. It's just a huge leap of faith.
Yep.
Especially when you walk outside. It's 60 degrees today. It's beautiful here in Seattle. The sun is out. It's a gorgeous day. No one we know for the most part is sick. It's not like after an earthquake where you can see evidence of the natural disaster or, you know, we yourself had felt the earth shake or the tornado come through or anything like that. You have to completely believe, A, that it's real, and then, B, that what we are doing about it will help. And that requires, I think, a tremendous amount of faith.
Yes, because you have no control.
Just no control. I can't see anything.
Yes. Yeah, but this has been probably the biggest reminder of me and lots of conversations in our home and everything else is you think that we can control this, that, and not this virus per se, but like, well, if we put all these things in our lives and we do all these things the right way, and you know, we are good stewards of this and that, and our time and our relationships and our finance and our people, like we can kind of control this environment. And this is showing you that no, you can't. That this virus that was out of central China is actually going to disrupt the entire globe. Right, in from global health to global economy to global relationships.
But it seems like you can control it if you do take the right steps, right?
You may. We'll see. You may or you may not, right? I mean, I am not to be doomsday here, but I don't know. Social distancing, it certainly seems to be a wise decision. Many of the experts and many of the wisest people and many of the people that are super educated on this front that you've got to lean into, that you've got to put some of your trust into through their life experience. But even they, Mike, have not seen this virus before, right? This is the best practices they have. Yeah. And ultimately, it just, it's humbling. It's hard because it does take a bunch of faith. And so much of what we have controlled in the past, I think we're realizing, has really always been out of our control.
takes a lot of faith in science, too. I mean, you know, that's another part of it. You've got to believe what the scientists and the doctors and people who understand this stuff better are saying. It does, and I don't want to make this political, it does make me wonder if our solution works, if we're able to get through this here in the next couple of, hopefully, weeks or maybe even months at the longest, you know, will we start to believe other things that we're hearing from science? And climate change comes to mind. I know that's a hot-button political debate, but it's another one of those things that you kind of, if you're going to believe it, it takes a level of faith in it. You have to believe that what you're hearing is real, even if you don't necessarily see it on a day-to-day basis, right? You get this, well, it's freezing cold. How could it be climate change? You have to believe it if you're going to believe it. You got to jump off that ledge and, you know, make it like the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Just take that step. So I don't know. I'm curious how this will change our societal view, and I'm not necessarily advocating one way or the other here. It's not about that.
Yep.
Just will this change our societal view on things that you can't see with your own eyes?
I was at like a function a month ago, and I was listening to a speaker talk about the windshield and how all of these things like in the windshield and the windshield. And I never really heard that like approach necessarily.
What do you mean
but
the windshield?
Just everything in front of you. Like right now we are driving and it is just chaos, right? Everything, every day things are changing right
like
in front of us.
That scene in Twister when the cow
goes
by.
Yes, yeah. Exactly right. And all of a sudden like the windshield... just even blows off of your car. Yes. But I think it will be an extraordinary exercise to look in the rearview mirror a month from now, 2 months from now, and what that story is going to tell, right? What are we going to learn from this experience, like globally?
Yeah. And the uncertainty is awful, man. I got to tell you, like this sort of sitting around waiting, like, okay, we're in this.
But you're not really
right
in
now.
That position. Like this position that you and Kyle are in this building is one where you've got to make a lot of decisions. Howdy and I have got to make decisions for our family. You guys are making decisions for this building.
Yeah, and you know, look, with Cairo as a news station, I mean, those decisions are in some ways easier. I mean, it's Cairo's job is to be on the air informing people. It's a little more challenging with 710, obviously. But, you know, I guess what I mean here is the uncertainty of not knowing what's going to happen has I think caused a tremendous amount of extra anxiety in some ways. I mean, there's a big part of me that says, if we're going to lock things, just do it. Just lock it down. Like rather than, hey, we're going to
inch at a time,
right? Like
hey, go afoot.
Maybe they're trying to work us up to that point so that when the lockdown occurs, people aren't panicked and running in the, you know, it doesn't get worse because of it, because it's just another step on the ladder. I guess that would make some sense to me. But this in between of like, okay, I can kind of go out, but I can't go out. But the kids are at home and we got to teach them, but they can't see other people. And you can't. But eventually looming on the outside of this is this idea of locking everything down. I find incredibly, like, it's making me really anxious. So, Howdy, you're looking over there.
No, I think that this is, there's a lot of panic that has been going on, and it sort of continues to increase itself as time goes on. And I think that there's a lot of great stuff that comes from it, but I'm real curious how much of this we really need to do, but it's better safe than sorry.
Well, I think that's the problem you run into. Look, a week ago, I think I was right there with you and thinking, okay, why did these leagues cancel? Well, one canceled for, you know, because some people, you know, Rudy Gobert. And then the next thing you know, everyone does it almost out of they don't want to look bad, right? And I think some of that is true. I mean, it's specifically calling the middle of the ACC basketball game and pulling the team off the court. Yep. Like, there was no further damage that was going to be done by them. That was entirely optics.
Yep.
But as we sit here a week later and kind of look through, you know, everything, I've come around and the idea that you just don't want to, you don't, Kyle, you've used this phrase, you don't want to be on the wrong side of history. You don't want to be the people that didn't listen and ended up killing people because of it, because that's a really awful place to be. Nobody wants that on their shoulders, and certainly I don't. I don't think you do either. The other side of it, though, is what is the damage that is going to be done to people all over the globe economically because of these decisions?
No question.
And in that way, that's why I kind of come back to this idea of why are, you know, if we're going to do it, right? Like, let's go whole hog. Let's go in 100% and make this thing end as soon as possible, because dragging this thing out over the course of longer weeks and maybe months is going to just completely destroy the economics of the whole. Look, our whole country, for the most part, I know that there's an agrarian part of our country, but we're pretty much out of manufacturing. We don't make that much anymore. We're a service-based economy. And that's exactly what you're not supposed to be providing right now. again, this thing is like specifically targeted to a lot of the things that I find important in life, and certainly that Americans seem to find important in life.
Yep, and it's created, as Audi said, an immense amount of anxiety, right? And to see toilet paper flying off the shelves, and to see, you know, people just hoarding food and supplies and trying to just protect themselves. It's also brought out, in some cases, the worst of humanity. I know it's brought out some of the best, and you see some of the folks, and God bless you, any of you that are serving in healthcare, that are putting, you know, your health on the line to go serve in these hospitals and serve at these triage units and serve as doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals. I mean, you are many of the heroes. And that's what I said, like in the rearview mirror, some of the stories in a month or 2 months or when that is from now of those doctors and those nurses and those healthcare professionals that really stood in the gap here. Yeah. I mean, my heart just goes out to all of you.
Well, I certainly hope we end up with something soon that is some sort of a whether it's a cure for this or some, you know, a vaccine that you take ahead of time. I just the anxiety, the disruption to life is incredibly challenging. And yep. I say that from a position of privilege. I know that there are people for whom this is significantly worse, and this will affect their lives forever. I even think of think of people who are, my parents, for instance, are 70 years old and right at retirement age and looking at 401ks. Now, hopefully they've made the right changes over the years to kind of take less and less risk in the stock market as you get closer to retirement age. But, you know, them, I think of small business owners, I think of
hourly wage people who literally cannot work and make money.
Anybody in that zone. And what are we going to do to help them? Because, you know, at the end of it, even if we do come out of this, are those people going to have enough money? Are they going to be, you know, who? All right, so they can't pay their rent. Okay, well, the landlords get asked to not collect rent and not evict people. Okay, but the landlords, when they're giant companies, might be fine, but there's plenty of small, operating landlords around.
They got to pay one or two buildings. They got to pay their mortgages.
They got to pay their mortgages. I mean, eventually, now you're going back to the banks. Now do we need another bank bailout because the banks aren't going to make anybody pay their mortgage for how long?
Yep.
And yes.
And do we know this is going to work? A 2-week quarantine. Do we know it's going to work? And do we know that data is very clear? And people will scream right now and say, "Of course it is, you idiot! Look at the places that did it and those that didn't." Well,
yeah, but it was 2 weeks when we first got it here. Now it's 6 weeks. Right? Then it's 8 weeks. Now it's 9 weeks. Right. Like, what are we actually talking about?
You can ramp yourself into hysteria quickly, and so you can see why. How do you talk about some of that panic? It's easy to do. Really, I mean, just in the conversation we're having here amongst friends, amongst coworkers, and we've worked together and been friends together for a decade, and just in quickly talking, at the moment you start asking questions, one leads to the next, and within 3 minutes, you're in the end of the global economy. We're all turning to post-apocalyptic world. It doesn't take long to get there.
But you can
also...
And
I think that's one of the reasons that you have this sort of anxiety and urge to panic and everything else that's going on right now.
I think you can also rewind it back and also ask how many have already overcome this from a data and fact standpoint.
True.
How long has this already been here? How many people have overcome this? How many continue to overcome it? Right? You were saying before the show, Howdy, how your grandmother was at the facility in Kirkland.
The original Kirkland facility.
The original Kirkland facility where a huge amount of the deaths in this state occurred.
Yep.
And, you know, that story is a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and she was on, there were two wings in that facility. There was the palliative care wing, and then there was the elderly recovering from surgeries, which is where she was. And everyone on that side of the wing was fine. No one came up with the coronavirus, none of the staff on that side. The other side, the majority of people got it, and the majority of the people who were in palliative care have died.
Yep. So, you know, it's going to be, as I said, the rearview mirror in a month, in 2 months, will be fascinating. When we gather again and continue, and hopefully we can keep doing this. Mm. Can we do this from afar?
We can.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Good. That's certainly one of the...
And if you just need to verbally process and you just need to call and talk, you know, Howdy and I and Kyle are open for you.
I just get on Microsoft Teams and just video chat with anybody who will talk to me. I just sit there and start chatting with people
just
constantly.
Holding office hours.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Who wants
a professor now?
That's pretty much what I'm left with.
How about, and this is an impossible transition, but you said we are going to talk about some stuff, and I'll tell you where I was dead wrong. I thought there was no way Tom Brady would finish his career anywhere other than New England.
100% agreed.
I did not. I couldn't. I still, in the news as we're recording this, is he's not going to be a Patriot, and he put that out there. I don't think that was a final, I'm going to try to. No, he's going to be elsewhere. And to think that that Tom and that organization and those three between Belichick and Kraft and Brady could not find final terms?
I am shocked by it. I really am. I don't know whose decision it was. I think it was Brady's. I feel like Brady, it's more important to Brady.
Well, Bill and Robert are pointing to Brady and saying it was his call.
The thing is, if you were Brady and you really wanted to show that you were the greatest even without Bill Belichick, wouldn't you have wanted to do it before you were this age? Like, if the goal was to show you were that much, like, don't you have to go out on your own like 5 or 6 years ago when you were still at the prime of your career, not now?
Yes.
Because now, if you go somewhere else and fail, it looks bad. I'm a little surprised that he did it that way.
And the two organizations, by the way, that are rumored to have him, one of them, Eli Manning, 20 years ago, said, I will never play for the Spanos family. No way, no how. And you're going to be a tenant in a landlord building in L.A.
I don't see that.
Or you're going to go play for the Glazer family down in Tampa for Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich calling your plays as you look over there at that absolute chaos.
How many times did Brady beat Byron Leftwich? Like a bunch, I think, just as a player.
I mean, that's what you're signing off to?
Neither of those things make a ton of sense. The Raiders don't make a ton of sense. So San Francisco will still pop up there as a possibility, and I know they look like they've committed elsewhere, but I don't know. The idea of Brady going, like, if he's going to do anything and not play in New England, wouldn't it be to play for his childhood team in his hometown? That's like the one thing that would make sense.
Yes, but
Tennessee made some sense, but they, for whatever reason, have decided to spend an enormous amount of money committing to Ryan Tannehill, which is insane. But that's a side note.
And the Colts look like they're going to sign Rivers, and the QB carousel, and Bridgewater ends up, I think, in a great spot in Carolina with a coordinator that he was with in New Orleans and some background with Joe Brady. And
Who does Belichick go with?
It's going to be Cam Newton.
That'd be great. That'd be so entertaining. And I know the immediate response is there's no way, and there probably isn't. But players have a way of like giving up their personality and giving up their former reputation when Bill Belichick taps them on the shoulder. I mean, there is that possibility.
Easy to do though when the GOAT was playing quarterback. Like, okay, well Tom will take care of everything, and he'll kind of unruffle all the wrinkles, and he'll figure it out, and we'll win. We'll go to 10 Super Bowls, and we'll win 6 of them, and we'll deal with that. But now that the GOAT's out the door. And that team and some of the decisions they've made already here at free agency, too.
We talk about never wanting to replace legends. Can you imagine trying to replace Brady in New England? Like, you've got to be the next quarterback there.
It'll probably be Kyle's guy, right?
Andy Dalton.
You want a sheriff in town. You want the red rifle in town. Man, that guy will take you to the next level.
Here you go, guys. 4-0. Whatever it takes. Let's get it. Playmakers on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Playmakers.
Patriots.
All right.
Patriots.
Patriots. Julian Edelman's getting so fired up just hearing that. He's like, oh, baby, I'm licking my chops. I'm going to be catching balls from Andy Dalton. Let's go.
When does Stephon Diggs throw his first tantrum? How many games in, or maybe how many plays in, until Stephon Diggs throws a tantrum at Josh Allen throwing him bounce passes?
Well, I mean, it could get into like week 8 or 10. He's been getting accustomed to this playing with Kirk Cousins. He screamed at Kirk Cousins on the sideline for a
thousand times more accurate than Josh Allen.
More accurate.
And Stephon Diggs was going crazy on Kirk Cousins.
I know.
Stephon's
got a pretty serious arm. So if he's going to overthrow him quite a bit,
when he actually opts to throw. I mean, remember, on most passing plays, Josh Allen elects to run. So he prefers to run over throw. So how many times is Stephon Diggs open and Josh Allen's like, nah, I'm taking off.
Yes.
And then in the meantime, when he's open and he actually throws him the ball, he's not accurate.
Yep.
That can't possibly work, can it?
I'll tell you what, man. Buffalo set up. They had a pretty good day. This isn't like, oh my gosh, they added all these amazing guys. They got 3 different linebackers. They trade for Stephon Diggs. They get Norman on a 1-year deal and some pretty good draft capital. And that was an excellent roster a year ago. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to be set up, especially New England sans the GOAT. I think Buffalo may be lined up to be in a pretty good shape in the AFC.
As it stands today, what is the Cardinals' record this upcoming season? And is that now in 7? Do I have to say that in 17-game terms? Is that starting this year?
Yes, you do.
What are the Cardinals?
Awful.
Are they going to be a 10-17?
No, are we sure?
This
that's
is so stupid.
Hold on.
Are
we
hate
sure
this
that
thing.
Starts in 2020?
So yes.
I thought that was 2021.
This is stupid.
I think it's 2021.
I hate it.
The 14-game playoff thing is this year, but 17 games is next year.
Ugh, I hate the idea.
Not this upcoming
year. Imagine trying to give teams records in a 17-game span.
No, it's 16 still for 2020. Right. The playoff structure changes.
Yeah. What will the Cardinals record be this year?
16.
8-8?
Yeah. Yep. You're not going to want to play them. I mean, right? And the Seahawks felt that in late December last year in a game they had to have, in a game that they thought, I think, in
that was
some
without
ways.
Kyler, I mean, he was hurt.
Right. Didn't play the second half.
Right.
thought you could rest a few guys and be good to play. JJ at left tackle, and that was not a good decision. And yeah, they just kind of handled them.
Yeah. All right. Well, so you've got that going for you. Which
yeah, you got the best division in football. Nice. And we'll see. The Seahawks are going to get some stuff done. It's just not going to be on the first day. And we'll see if it's on the second or the third or the fourth or the fifth.
All right. I've been looking forward to this all morning. Really, since last night when the questions started coming in. Up next here, we will answer your questions.
This is Brock and Sox. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
Tons of questions via Twitter, Brock. Tons of them. Really good ones. And I figure people are going to take their time, maybe even divide this podcast up. And people got time right now, right? They're home, so you can divide this up into a couple listens. Make sure you get to the end. We'll do some extra answer the question jerk here.
Next question.
Let's see what we've got. I'll try to remember to give people's names with it. This comes from Always Jason.
Mm.
Jerks, the world is ending. You need to go to the grocery store and buy one to two last things. What are they?
Mm.
Macaroni and cheese.
Kraft, like just like a
box. I personally buy Farmhouse, but that's because I'm pretty bougie.
yeah, that's how I always describe you. What's Farmhouse?
Oh, it's a really nice white cheddar shells.
Oh, okay. But not. But it's its own company?
Oh, yes, yes.
It it's not Annie's
no,
or
no,
one
no,
of those.
No, it's Farmhouse is the company.
It's that good.
Yeah,
so hold on a minute. That's right. Something you'll spend money right. on?
Yeah.
More
it's
than
a dollar,
Kraft.
It's a dollar a box. Kraft is 40 cents.
Hold on. How long have we known Howdy?
Decade.
A decade.
Yep. Have you, in that entire 10-year period, literally, have you ever known him one time...
To be bougie?
...to spend more than he needs to on anything?
No. Nope.
I can't think of one thing...
Nope.
...Howdy said...
Stuffed crust pizza.
This is worth the extra money.
Okay, he'll splurge pizza. First Close. String cheese in a
Close.
But hold on, but he'll get the stuffed crust from the cheapest pizza place he can.
Well, no,
it's
but
not
still
like
what
he's
he
going
considers
to, like,
the best.
He's not going to Serious Pie and asking for stuffed crust. No. I mean,
well,
like,
they'd laugh him out.
True. Obviously. Right. But he's buying it
Sir,
from,
we're
like,
serious about our pie? We don't put string cheese in
We don't
crust.
Do this for children.
So this is the only thing you'll spend money on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's that good.
I mean, it's worth double the price of...
Now I want to try it.
Farmhouse, wow. You can only get it at a certain number of grocery stores.
Costco have it?
Like, no, not Costco.
And this is
no.
grocery
Maybe,
outlet.
I think only at Safeway or
especially,
Fred Meyer.
Especially credible coming from Howdy, who, as we all know, he knows great mac and cheese.
True.
Because Melissa has supplied for
True.
Our Crock-Pot competition award-winning mac and cheese.
Did that come from Farmhouse?
No, that's handmade.
Oh. I mean, well, still,
my wife
Howdy can still say,
anything my
this
wife
mac and cheese is
right.
good.
Yes.
So that's saying something.
That's one. I'll leave the other one to you guys.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, all right.
Thank
you.
I mean, I need to have that, so.
I mean, I think, feel like I got everything in my house, generally. I'll tell you, the one thing we need in our house, if and this is just for the kids, parents out there may understand this, these Make Good bars.
Make Good bars.
Make Good. They're just like granola bars for kids. If they're not in my house... Eruptions will ensue.
Not good.
I was at the grocery store yesterday. I bought like six boxes of it. The woman was like, oh, are those good? I'm like, I don't have a clue. I've never had one. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, they're just for the kids, but if they don't have them, there's riots. You're talking about panics in the streets. There you go.
Next question.
I love this question from Josh. You got 1.5 bites left of something that you love on your plate. Do you A, take a tiny bit and then one full bite, or B, finish the entire thing in one bite? I guess there's also an option C, which is
just keep nibbling.
Yeah.
Nibble.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking the whole time. So now, what about like 10 small bites?
Now, one thing you've got to say is if you have 1.5 bites left of something you love, you have not planned well. This is like the Seahawks in the draft this year in the free agency. The reason that you only have 1.5 bites left is that you did not plan everything accordingly for the last two bites, right? So that's you've already made a mistake.
But the reality is the last bite of food you have of a meal that you love must be the best
Absolutely.
Bite that you can
You're
take.
Saving whatever it is
it
you like
must
best
be
for last.
Because you need the lasting memory of that dish.
So you go all in at 1.5 and make
no,
it?
No, I'd go half
because
a
that's
bite,
not the
full
best bite.
Bite.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
Half a bite, full bite. I don't need too much. In, yeah.
Make your last bite the very best bite.
Yes, always. That's it. Yeah, agree.
You know what I found Good over question. The last couple weeks, back to the grocery question, is we had a chef with the Seahawks when we originally got there in the old facility. And he would, whatever was the day before, you knew it was going to be in some leftovers the next day. Some soup was going to be made out of it.
It's like every restaurant slanging a special.
Yep. Some kind of special. I have found that those items, and in particular like steak, my tri-tip steak, which is unbelievable the first night. But then it's really good on grilled cheese, paninis, steak paninis. Can even be good with eggs the next morning and just continuing to reuse it. So you give me just a big old cow. You know, from the grocery store.
Take the whole cow.
From the grocery store.
I'm going to go back to the grocery store. Yeah, no. Right. Give me that cow.
I tell you, I spent a couple of hours on Sunday getting the barbecue ready. I deep cleaned my grill.
Yeah. On your tri-tip, you still do the kind of bigger roast, right?
I buy the whole tri-tip.
You haven't gone to Costco yet.
No. I get the big tri-tip roast. Okay. I cut little like slats into it.
Okay.
And then you put sliced garlic in between each slat, salt, pepper, garlic powder on the whole thing.
Yep.
And then you let it sit for a while and then you slow cook it.
I think it's USDA Prime tri-tips at Costco is my favorite.
Can't get into Costco. There's too many people.
I don't even know if they exist anymore.
I went to the park. I told Brock, I thought yesterday, I'm just going to run into Costco. I'm going to grab one thing. What an idiot.
How many things did you get?
An absolute idiot. How many things did I get? I didn't even get out of the car. I didn't park the car. I pulled up to Costco and there was a line down the entire front. Then it snaked around the corner. There was someone outside. In 5 minutes, we'll be letting a group of 20 people into the store. Yes. They have a sign saying in stock, out of stock, and the in stock was empty.
Next question.
I got a bunch of questions here from Michael. Michael Herman. You ready?
Oh, Michael, yeah.
What non-sport content are you watching and reading now that there's no sports? So Heather and I are working on
the news.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. But in terms of some like fun at the end, like at some point,
I ordered six books.
All right, what did you order?
I asked people.
Did you ask me? I could have given you a bunch.
Did you look at my list when I put that out? Why not?
I didn't see it.
Did you happen to look at my list on my tweet?
When did you put a list?
Oh, I tweeted the other day. I said I went to Costco before the storm and I got a new 3-pack of readers.
I saw that.
1.75s.
Oh, whoa! You're kicking it up a notch.
Yeah, from 1.5 to 1.75. Yeah. No. It goes all the way up to 3. So I'm good. As long as I don't go to 2.
Right?
No, I was up to 1.5.
Okay.
And I said, okay, I got my set of 3 readers. Got any good books of the last year or two? And I think I got like 400 different responses.
You won't read fiction, right?
I'm not. I said, I prefer biographies and nonfiction. That's my preference.
Will you read that whole history book I read, The Silk Road?
Probably not. I mean,
really
it won't be. I won't read it ahead of. There were a ton. I'll tell you the one that got a lot, the most recommendations. And maybe this was some of my audience or not, but it was a book called Educated. You guys heard about this?
No. Nope.
Educated?
I'm not educated.
A woman that grew up in a fundamentalist, super fundamentalist church, like with no education. None. Like not the formal, you know. And as it turned out, she went on to kind of leave the church and became a just unbelievable student and academic and now is doing amazing things in the business world and such, and an unbelievable achiever. And just her kind of story through that process. And I must have had a dozen people say, you've got to read that book. So that's one of 6 that I ordered yesterday. So that's the content I'm doing. I'm trying to
read
a bunch of books.
Gentleman of Moscow. Just
Gentleman of Moscow?
Read A Gentleman of Moscow.
A Gentleman of Moscow.
In Moscow.
In Moscow. What is it about?
It's about a guy,
right
after the Russian Revolution, who ends up essentially quarantined. It's perfect for right now.
Oh,
he is put under house arrest to live the rest of his life inside the big hotel Metropole.
Whoa.
One of the best books I've ever read.
Really?
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right.
Really, really good.
So what are you doing content-wise?
We're going to try to watch The Watchmen.
I liked it.
Yeah, it looked good. So we're going to try to watch that. I don't know.
You're going to love it.
I'm reading a lot.
But I liked it.
I'm reading something called Empire Falls. It's very good. I don't know. Let's see. What else we got here?
Next question.
What is a type of food you would die of starvation before eating from a pantry or buying from the store?
How many vegetables are on the list?
I just can't do kale.
Have you ever had this kale chips?
Yes.
You still don't like it?
I mean, kale chips are okay, but it's just like the whole texture of kale. I just can't do kale.
Mine is celery. Celery and carrots raw. Vile.
Wow.
I cannot stand them. Cooked, they're fine. Raw celery, raw
carrots.
I mean,
raw carrots are about as generic.
I cannot stand that taste.
I hate them too.
The taste of raw celery and raw carrots makes me want to vomit.
Yep.
But but cooked, like put them in a soup, I'm good to go. It's fine.
Yep.
Cannot.
Yep.
Texture thing?
Yeah, I don't. No, it's a taste. I hate the taste. I hate it.
I agree.
Hate it. We cooked a soup the other day, and the celery wasn't cooked enough. And I was like, you got to put this thing back on because it's affecting the way this tastes.
Yeah.
I hate it. All right, let's see.
Next question.
You're awfully quiet over there, Kyle. What's
under quarantine, you get one movie to watch. What is it?
Over and over.
Yeah, you
got to
keep watching it.
I'm probably watching either Hot Rod or What About Bob.
Hot Rod.
I love those movies. Mm, okay. I've watched those movies dozens and dozens of times. I would do it again.
Gosh. You want something just profoundly stupid.
Something
that was super bad. Or
Talladega
Tommy
Nights
Boy,
is on my list, too. I know it's not on Mike's, but that movie is very funny.
Rocky IV on anybody's list?
I don't think that one's going to
crack. That's
not
on your list?
No.
Motivation?
Super Troopers, maybe?
That'd be pretty good.
Like I feel like I could keep watching Super Troopers.
Shawshank Redemption?
We were talking about Kenny Loggins last night. Footloose was on last night. We were watching a little bit of that.
Oh.
I was thinking, does Kenny Loggins have any songs that aren't from a movie? And he doesn't. I looked at his top five songs on Spotify. They're all from movies.
Really?
Yes. I mean, you got Danger Zone. Well, number one is Footloose by a large margin. Then you got Danger Zone from Top Gun. You've got Playing with the Boys from Top Gun.
Of course.
You've got I'm All Right from Caddyshack. And then there was one other, but it was from another movie. They're all from movies. That guy made an entire career out of only doing songs in movies. Pretty good gig, I guess.
Not bad.
Right? I mean, I know he was with Loggins and Messina first, but as a solo,
and you know where
he
was.
Did.
You know where he was born,
Kenny Loggins.
Yes,
I don't have a clue.
It's in Washington.
He was.
Yes.
Where?
You know where he was born, Kyle? Don't look it up.
I don't. I mean,
howdy, Kenny Loggins Everett. Was born. Bingo.
Oh, I didn't look it up.
Wow.
Wow.
Because you'd want to say he's from like Orville or Colville.
No, he is from a born
Electric
in,
City,
born in Everett, Washington. What? The great Kenny Loggins.
How many times have you watched Frozen 2? Well, a lot.
Mike got that Disney Plus work.
I think I'm at 3, but we haven't even watched it on Disney Plus yet. We're holding out. We're trying to do some.
Oh, you had the secret hookup?
Yeah,
the
well, we
screener?
Saw it at least once or twice in the theaters. Mm. And yeah, it's been a lot. Good movie, though. Really good. Have you seen it yet?
No.
How do you like it?
No, good.
Next question.
I'm a reader these days, Mike.
If you could bring one sports league season back for the next 5 months, what would it be? Easy answer. Not close.
When they XFL. Canceled on Friday.
When they canceled the PGA. That was the end for me. I was doing fine until the players canceled.
I texted Salk all caps. Oh. They canceled the players.
Oh.
Just give me the Masters.
Just bring back
April.
Golf
the
and
azaleas in full bloom.
Absolutely does.
I can't believe I'm saying this given where I was a few years ago, but I think as long as you had golf, I'd be fine.
Because you could just melt in for four straight days for 6 hours.
Yep.
Like that could take up such a chunk. You barely have to pay attention. Well, you can come and go.
And if
it's
they
so
did
perfect.
It right, knowing that everybody's home, you could have the LPGA and the Champions Tour playing on those other days.
Mm.
So you could go 7 days a week with just golf on TV. You get super into all of it.
You do the regular tour. Thing. Where some days on Golf Channel, you can start with LPGA, you go PGA, then you go Korn Ferry.
Yes.
In the evening, you get the Senior Tour, and then late night, you get Asia or Europe Tour.
It's perfect.
And
they
you can go
golfing.
24 hours live golf.
They should be golfing right now, by the way.
It's
they
two people
they
by themselves.
Be golfing. It's two people by themselves, get every golfer tested, and then they're all clear, and then you have them play by themselves to get the caddies tested. It's all fine.
All right, you ready? Question. Rapid fire here from Zook Alexander. Which snacks are you choosing in each of the four S's in your quarantine scenario? Okay, we'll go around. Start with sour. Howdy.
Sour Patch Kids.
Strawberry rhubarb pie.
That's a good answer, by the
way. I mean, if Sour Patch Kids are off the board, then
no,
I guess...
No, you can... I don't
okay,
think
sour any. Straws.
I'm trying to think of what I eat that's sour. I never have sour. What else is out there?
We had
sour?
Strawberry rhubarb pie over the weekend.
That sounds good. I think
so
I want to take broth.
Okay, if I could go like a peach raspberry pie, that'd be a little
sweet.
Sour.
Sweet. Ice cream.
Ice cream.
Blizzards.
Well, you can't hold.
No,
you can't
it's
hoard
not.
A, you can't have a blizzard in your house.
I have the machine.
Stop it.
I bought it.
Just stop. That's not true. But ice cream.
Blizzard machine.
Whole Foods totally sold out of the Talenti when
Repo,
I went the other day.
I bought it.
Almost anarchy
it's
in
amazing.
There.
Amazing.
Howdy, sweet.
French toast.
Kind of a sweet and salty
French
mix.
Toast.
Good call.
Huge French toast.
Sweet, sour, what else you got? Salty?
Kyle, you have a sweet?
Oh, ice cream.
Oh, ice cream, you're with me. Salty is next.
Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
But can you, is that something you can...
Bacon.
It's not a snack.
Bacon.
salted caramel.
I feel like I've dominated this.
More ice cream.
And what's the other taste group?
Savory. I'm not sure I know the difference between salty and savory.
Savory is just like meats, right?
Is it? Well, all right.
You know what I made the other day?
The
savory?
Tri-tip right there.
Nope. With my tri-tip.
No, I'm saying for savory. Yeah, I don't know what you
I made homemade mashed potatoes, boiled a bunch of golden potatoes, put them in the blender, cheese, some cream. It was savory.
For pie cheese. Day, we made, and by we I mean Heather and the girls, made this pie that has cookie dough at the bottom, not fully cooked, and then a next layer of pudding. A next layer of like cream cheese and sour, like a cream cheese frosting,
yep.
And then whipped cream with chocolate chips on the top.
Mm.
Dude, it's legit.
And,
the kids didn't like the cookie part.
And on that, the hay is in the bottom.
That's exactly where it is. Good luck, everybody. Stay safe. Hopefully, we'll be with you guys next week. Until then, that's where the hay is.
Barn.
Get to the chopper!